Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine finding like a single investment that gives you a stake in global industrial giants, cutting-edge healthcare innovation, and even the world of private equity. And it's all managed with a perspective that spans, well, not just years, but centuries.
Seems unlikely to
Kind of
me.
like a fantasy. Yeah. Well, today we're taking a deep dive into a real-world example, Investor AB.
Ah, investor. A fascinating case.
It isn't just another company, is it? It's a preeminent industrial holding company from the Nordic region, really the flagship investment vehicle of, well, the powerful Wallenberg family.
Absolutely. A cornerstone of Swedish industry for well over a century.
Think of it as maybe a shortcut to understanding a truly unique and consistently successful business model. Our core source for this deep dive is a pretty comprehensive equity investment analysis report.
A solid piece of work, yeah.
And our mission really is to pull out the most important insights, really grasp its distinctive structure, understand that long-term philosophy, and uncover why it consistently manages to, well, outperform the market.
Or, as I might frame it, what's truly remarkable here is how all these seemingly disparate pieces, how they fit together to create such a powerful engine.
Exactly. It's like a master class, isn't it? In strategic alignment and patient capital, it shows a very different way to build enduring value.
It really does. A stark contrast to short-term thinking.
And for you, our listener, whether you're, gearing up for a crucial meeting or maybe catching up on sophisticated investment strategies, or maybe you're just insanely curious about how multi-generational wealth is really built, this deep dive is designed to deliver those aha moments. We want to show you how long-term active ownership can really make a difference, and hopefully all without feeling overwhelmed by, an avalanche of information.
It's complex, but approachable when broken down.
So where do we even begin to understand a company like Investor AB? The report's executive summary, it lays out the absolute core of their investment thesis, and it's quite compelling.
It really frames it well.
It positions Investor AB as a truly distinctive and, well, attractive investment proposition. At its heart, the analysis drills down into three key pillars. There's a unique three-pillar business model,
Right.
a philosophy of active ownership that's been ingrained for, wow, over a century.
History matters a lot.
And a remarkable multi-decade track record of consistently outperforming the broader market. Essentially, you're getting diversified, high-quality exposure to both public and private markets, all rolled into one.
It sounds almost too good to be true sometimes, doesn't it?
It does. But the analysis really makes a strong case. From the bull case perspective, the optimistic view for investors, there are several compelling points that immediately jump out.
Okay, let's hear the bullish side first.
First, you gain liquid, single-stock access to a meticulously curated portfolio of global market leaders. And these aren't just any companies. They're in incredibly attractive, resilient sectors. Think industrial automation, electrification, healthcare.
Yeah, areas with real secular tailwinds.
Exactly. Areas poised for significant, durable, long-term growth. Second, their active ownership model. It's profoundly powered by what they call the Wallenberg ecosystem.
We'll definitely need to unpack that ecosystem concept.
We will. And it allows Investor AB to drive value far beyond what, say, a passive investor could ever achieve. They're not just holding shares, they're actively shaping and strengthening these companies.
Engage ownership.
Third, it boasts what the report calls dual engine growth. This means Investor AB isn't relying on just one source for its value. It's generating growth simultaneously from two powerful engines. It's stable, cash-generating listed companies, and it's more dynamic, higher-growth private assets within Patricia Industries.
Right, the public and the private working together.
It's like having both a robust, reliable income stream and like a dedicated venture capital arm under one roof.
The diversification is key.
And finally, there's a disciplined capital allocation strategy. Consistently low leverage, a steadfast commitment to a steadily rising dividend, and opportunistic adjustments to the portfolio.
Smart financial management.
All of this, combined with a persistent, often discussed NAV discount, it creates a very favorable risk-reward profile for someone with patient capital.
Okay, let's pause on that NAV discount. Can you just quickly explain what that means in this context?
Sure. For a company like Investor AB, its net asset value, or NAV, is basically the sum of all its underlying assets' market values minus its liabilities. So a discount means you're effectively buying that whole basket of companies for less than what those individual assets would be worth on their own.
Like getting a dollar's worth of assets for, say, 90 cents.
Exactly. Like getting a basket of premium goods at a bargain price.
Okay, so that's the bull case.
Yeah.
Pretty compelling. But we need the balance, right? What are the risks, the bear arguments?
Right. While that bull case is certainly strong, it's crucial to pull back and consider the other side. The bear case points out that even some of Investor AB's strengths can, from another angle, present significant challenges.
Okay.
For instance, despite the diversification across those three pillars, the portfolio still exhibits substantial concentration within its listed holdings.
Ah, the big names dominate.
Yeah, the top four listed companies alone account for nearly 70% of that segment's value, and many of these are in economically sensitive, cyclical industrial sectors.
So vulnerable to economic swings.
Precisely. They're more vulnerable to global economic downturns or shifts in industrial capital expenditure, which could naturally impact Investor AB's overall NAV.
Makes sense. What else?
Another important consideration highlighted in the bear case is the growing proportion of unlisted assets within Patricia Industries.
Right, the private side.
While this segment is indeed a key engine for future growth, it introduces a degree of valuation opacity.
Meaning it's harder to pin down their exact worth.
Exactly. Unlike publicly traded companies with daily market prices, these private assets are valued using internal estimates and comparisons. These can be subjective and, by their nature, they're less liquid.
So harder to sell quickly if needed, and the value might be debatable.
Right. It means they could be prone to downward revisions, particularly during market downturns, and selling them quickly to raise capital might require accepting a substantial discount.
That's a key difference from the listed side.
Definitely. And finally, that persistent discount to NAV itself, while it offers a margin of safety, it could also just persist, or even widen.
So the bargain might just stay a bargain. Or get even cheaper without realizing that full value.
Potentially, yeah. Factors contributing to this include the inherent complexity of Investor AB's three-pillar structure, maybe general market sentiment towards holding companies, or perhaps a lack of clear public catalysts to visibly unlock the perceived hidden value in the private portfolio.
So not insignificant risks to weigh against the positive.
Not at all. And the report makes it clear they need to be actively considered by investors.
Okay, so weighing the bull and the bear, what's the bottom line recommendation from the analysis?
Well, after weighing both sides, the final recommendation is pretty clear. Investor AB is highly suitable for long-term investors. We're talking about those seeking both capital appreciation and a reliable, steadily growing income stream.
A core holding, not a speculative play.
Exactly. It's definitely best viewed as a core cornerstone holding in a diversified global equity portfolio. The emphasis is really on long-term here. It's explicitly less appropriate for short-term traders or anyone chasing, you know, speculative high beta returns.
Patience is required.
Patience is key. Now let's dive deeper into what makes this all work, the actual architecture. So what's the architectural secret behind Investor AB's consistent success? The report zeroes in on its three-pillar structure. I'm keen to understand how that actually works as a diversified value engine. How does it balance stability, cash flow, and growth potential?
Absolutely. This three-pillar model is fundamental. Think of it as a carefully constructed bridge, right? Each pillar serving a distinct but complementary purpose.
Oh.
Pillar number one, the listed companies, is the bedrock. As of December 2023, this segment comprised 69% of Investor AB's adjusted assets, its primary role. To be a stable generator of recurring cash flow.
The foundation.
Precisely. These are significant minority stakes in a portfolio of mostly Nordic heritage companies that are, without question, global leaders in their fields. Think Alice Copco, ABB, AstraZeneca.
Big established names.
Right. Investor AB typically holds the largest share, which isn't just about capital. It provides them with the influence needed to execute their active ownership model. They're not actively trading these stocks, you know.
Oh, day trading here.
No. They're long-term stewards focused on strengthening these companies' market positions and future-proofing their business models. The impact is clear. In 2023 alone, this segment generated a substantial SCK 12.0 billion in dividends.
Wow.
That directly underpins Investor AB's own dividend policy and fuels its capacity for new investments.
So, pillar one, solid foundation, cash flow, stability. Got it. But for future growth and tapping into different markets, how does Investor AB expand its reach beyond those public giants?
That's precisely where pillar number two, Patricia Industries, becomes such a critical engine for future growth.
Okay, Patricia Industries.
Established in 2015, this is Investor AB's dedicated private equity arm and it represents a deliberate strategy to build rather than just buy.
Build, not just buy. Interesting distinction.
It is. Unlike many traditional private equity firms, Patricia Industries focuses on acquiring and developing wholly owned or partner-owned companies, primarily in North America and the Nordics. They target sectors like medtech, life science tools, industrial tech.
Similar focus areas to the listed side, it seems?
Often complementary, yes.
Yeah.
But what's truly distinctive here is their buy-to-build philosophy. This isn't about acquiring a company, optimizing it for a few years, and then flipping it within a fixed exit timeline, which is, you know, common in traditional PE.
Right, the typical 5-7 year hold.
Exactly. Instead, Patricia Industries maintains ownership for as long as it can continue to create value. They operate with what's called permanent capital.
Permanent capital, okay.
This makes them a highly attractive and stable owner for companies and founders looking for long-term partners, not just, you know, transactional buyers.
I can see why founders would like that.
Absolutely. And for Investor AB shareholders, this segment provides direct exposure to the often higher returns of private markets, which is a critical source of potential outperformance.
So stable public companies and then these private growth engines. What's the third piece of this puzzle?
Pillar number three, investments in EQT makes up about 10% of adjusted assets, and it strategically rounds out the portfolio.
EQT, they're a big private equity firm themselves, right?
A global giant. And Investor AB was actually a co-founder of EQT back in 1994. That relationship has been a constant. This pillar has two components. A significant ownership stake in the publicly listed management company, EQT AB.
Okay, owning the manager.
And commitments to various EQT-managed funds. So you're getting broad, diversified exposure to the global private equity landscape, all managed by a world-class organization.
So it's another way to tap into private equity, but through an external manager this time.
Exactly. It's a third engine for value creation, generating returns both from the appreciation of its stake in EQT AB and from the capital gains realized within the underlying funds. And over time, this segment consistently generates cash flow as those funds mature and distribute capital back to their limited partners, including Investor AB.
That's a fascinating structure. Three distinct pillars all working together. But you mentioned the Wallenberg ecosystem earlier. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it becomes clear that to fully grasp Investor AB, we must understand its deep roots within that ecosystem. You said it's virtually inimitable. What does that actually mean on the ground? Can you give us a specific example of how that network translates into a tangible advantage for Investor AB's companies?
That's a great question, because the Wallenberg ecosystem isn't just a corporate structure. It's a profound, century-old competitive advantage that is truly difficult to replicate.
Okay.
The company was founded by the Wallenberg family in 1916, primarily to house the industrial shareholdings of their bank, SEB. This historical origin is key. It ingrained a deeply long-term perspective right into the company's DNA.
Right from the start.
Right. Today, the Wallenberg Foundations are the primary owners, controlling approximately 50% of the voting rights.
50%. That's control.
Absolutely. And this creates a powerful self-reinforcing cycle of value creation. Investor AB focuses on building best-in-class companies, generating strong returns, and critically, a steadily rising dividend.
Which we talked about earlier.
Exactly. A significant portion of these dividends, like the SEK $3.5 billion paid in 2024, flows directly to the Wallenberg Foundations.
And what do the foundations do with that money?
Their purpose is philanthropic. They use these funds for grants, primarily for scientific research and education, all aimed at the betterment of Sweden.
Okay, philanthropy. But how does that circle back to Investor AB?
Ah, here's the unique part. This investment in national innovation, technology, and human capital directly benefits Investor AB's portfolio companies. Many of these are Swedish heritage leaders in technology and engineering, right?
Right.
They directly profit from a rich pool of talent and a fertile ground for innovation that the foundation's grants help to cultivate. Imagine a feedback loop where the success of the businesses funds the very research and talent development that then fuels the next generation of business success.
Wow. So the dividends fund research, which creates talent and ideas, which helps the companies make more profit, which generates more dividends.
Precisely. That symbiotic relationship is a multi-generational competitive moat. It's really quite remarkable.
That's not just active ownership, that's creating the very environment for success. So this isn't passive investment, it's what they call engaged ownership. How do they execute this beyond just providing capital and board participation? What does engaged really mean?
Indeed, it goes far beyond simply sitting on a board. Their engaged ownership is deeply hands-on. Investor AB leverages its deep industrial experience, its extensive global network, and its significant financial strength to actively guide its companies toward becoming what they define as best in class.
Okay.
It's a structured, almost operational process. Dedicated business teams, including board representatives and investment professionals, they immerse themselves in understanding the company, its industry dynamics, its competitive landscape.
Deep dives within the deep dive.
You could say that. From that deep knowledge, they craft detailed value creation plans. These aren't just wish lists. They're actionable strategies designed to future-proof the business.
Future-proof, like anticipating market shifts.
Exactly. A huge part of that involves capitalizing on powerful long-term secular trends like digitalization, automation, sustainability, and electrification. This level of active operational involvement is a profound differentiator from many other holding companies or purely financial investment funds.
So they're not just providing money, they're providing strategic roadmap guidance and operational expertise.
That's the core of it. They are true partners in building value.
Now that we understand Investor AB's internal structure and philosophy, let's zoom out a bit. Look at its strategic landscape and enduring strengths. It's important to understand the context, right? The Nordic holding company sector.
Yes, Sweden in particular has a strong tradition here.
This region, particularly Sweden, has a very well-established ecosystem of large, influential investment holding companies. These aren't new players. They often have roots in long-standing family dynasties and have historically acted as stable long-term owners and developers of critical national industrial assets.
A very different model than you might see in, say, the US or UK.
Very different. And within this unique landscape, Investor AB is the undisputed leader, both in terms of its sheer market capitalization exceeding $95 billion and the sheer breadth of its portfolio.
It's the giant among giants in the region.
Definitely. While it's the dominant player, there are other prominent peers in the Swedish market. You have Industrivärden.
Right, another classic.
More concentrated industrial focus, though. Then there's Kinnevik,
which has pivoted significantly towards tech growth.
Yeah, very different profile now. And Investment AB Latour, which combines listed holdings with its own wholly owned industrial companies.
So a few different flavors, but Investor AB holds that central position.
It does. Each has its own niche, but Investor AB truly stands apart. A comparative analysis is really helpful here, as it highlights Investor AB's distinct strategic positioning. How does it stack up against, say, Industrivärden?
Okay, Investor AB versus Industrivärden. Both represent that classic Swedish model of a long-term industrial holding company. But Investor AB's model is significantly more diversified and dynamic.
Because of Patricia and EQT.
Exactly. The inclusion of Patricia Industries as a private equity growth engine and the external private equity exposure through EQT provides additional avenues for value creation and gives shareholders access to private markets. Industrivärden, by contrast, maintains a more concentrated portfolio, almost exclusively focused on listed Swedish industrial champions like Volvo or Sandvik.
So Industrivärden is more of a pure play on listed Swedish industry?
Pretty much. Its value creation is centered solely on active ownership of those public entities without that private asset component that Investor has.
Okay. And if you compare Investor AB to Kinnevik, you mentioned Kinnevik pivoted.
Right. Here you see a really significant divergence in investment philosophy and risk appetite. Kinnevik has transformed itself over the last decade into a very growth-focused investment firm. They strategically back earlier stage, often high growth but not yet profitable, technology-enabled companies. Digital healthcare, software, that's their zone now.
Much earlier stage, high risk potentially.
Definitely a different risk profile. Investor AB, on the other hand, remains anchored in mature, highly profitable, and cash-generative market leaders. Its exposure to earlier stage growth is deliberately channeled through the more controlled environments of Patricia Industries and the EQT funds.
So different ways to get growth exposure.
Very different ways. Kinnevik's risk profile, its return volatility, and even its valuation metrics are fundamentally different. It often trades at a wider discount to NAV because of that growth-focused earlier stage portfolio.
Interesting. So while both are holding companies, their underlying strategies couldn't be more distinct. And it raises an important question. How does Investor AB compare globally? Often the global comparison that comes up is with Berkshire Hathaway. Is that a fair comparison?
It's an interesting parallel and one that comes up a lot. Both are vast, multi-billion dollar holding companies with a truly long-term investment horizon. So similarities exist, but their fundamental business models are quite different. Berkshire Hathaway, at its core, is an insurance conglomerate, right? It utilizes its float, That's the money it collects in premiums before paying claims, as a massive, low-cost, permanent source of capital for its investments.
Right. The insurance float is key for Berkshire. How does Investor fund itself?
Investor AB, by contrast, funds its operations and new investments primarily through the dividend streams from its portfolio companies, strategic divestments, and the measured use of debt. Different funding engines.
So a different source of capital. And their ownership styles also seem to differ significantly. Berkshire seems more hands-off with its subsidiaries.
Absolutely. Investor AB practices a very hands-on, engaged ownership model, actively participating on boards and shaping corporate strategy. While Berkshire certainly provides guidance, its approach with its wholly owned subsidiaries is often much more decentralized and hands-off. They trust existing management teams to run the businesses independently.
So while both are titans, they play very different games.
Very different games. A peer comparison matrix would clearly show these critical differentiations. Investor AB's approach combining dividends, divestments, and debt, coupled with engaged active ownership across a diversified portfolio of both mature listed companies and private growth entities, that sets it apart.
And that typical NAV discount for Investor AB, usually in the 5-15% range, reflects this unique blend of characteristics.
I think that's fair to say yes. It reflects the structure, the mix of assets, market perception, all of it.
This raises an important question. What makes Investor AB so resilient and enduring, allowing it to maintain such a strong position over decades? What are those sustainable competitive advantages?
Good question. Its sustainable competitive advantages are truly difficult to replicate. First, there are the immense network effects of what's often referred to as the Wallenberg sphere.
We touched on the ecosystem, but this is broader.
It is. This is an extensive and incredibly influential network of industrial, political, and academic leaders, both in the Nordics and globally. This network provides unparalleled advantages in everything from sourcing proprietary deal flow for new investments.
Getting first look at deals.
Potentially, yes, or better insights. To conducting incredibly thorough due diligence, recruiting top-tier talent for board and management positions, and even facilitating strategic partnerships for its portfolio companies.
Wow, it's like an exclusive club.
In a way, imagine an exclusive club whose members are at the top of their fields, all subtly reinforcing each other's success. It's an advantage that no competitor could easily build or buy.
And building on that, there's the incredible reputation and brand that Investor AB has cultivated over, well, a century.
Reputation matters immensely in this space.
With a history spanning over a century of responsible and consistently successful ownership, the company has established itself as a preferred long-term owner. That's huge because it makes them a highly attractive partner for founders and companies that are seeking stable value-adding capital as opposed to, you know, transactional financial buyers who might just be looking for a quick flip.
That trust and reputation are invaluable assets. They can open doors that remain closed to others.
Absolutely. And linked to that is the fundamental advantage of its permanent capital structure. You mentioned this with Patricia Industries.
Yes, this is critical. Unlike traditional private equity funds, which are typically constrained by a 10-year fund life that often forces asset sales at perhaps suboptimal time.
Right. The clock is always ticking for PE funds.
Exactly. Investor AB operates with a truly permanent capital base. This structural advantage is particularly potent for its Patricia Industries segment. It allows Patricia Industries to genuinely adhere to its buy-to-build strategy, holding investments for an indefinite period.
So they're never forced sellers.
They're never forced sellers purely due to fund structure. This flexibility is crucial because it enables them to maximize long-term value creation without ever being pressured into premature or ill-timed exits, which is a common challenge for typical PE funds. This patience and long-term view really distinguish them.
Okay, let's talk numbers because this is where you really see the proof in the pudding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Financial performance, capital allocation. Investor AB has a century of value creation under its belt, and its long-term returns are, well, pretty remarkable.
The track record speaks volumes.
The company actually sets itself an ultimate target to generate an attractive total shareholder return, or TSR, with an annual requirement of 8-9%. And this target is defined as the risk-free interest rate, like a government bond yield, plus an equity market risk premium.
So beating safe returns by a healthy margin.
Right. And they consistently hit and exceed that. Over the two decades leading up to 2024, Investor AB delivered a phenomenal average annual total shareholder return of 16%.
16%?
Annually.
For 20 years. That's serious compounding.
Think about that. Two decades. through multiple economic cycles, maintaining that level of performance. It's a powerful testament to the resilience and compounding power of their strategy.
And what's even more compelling is that this isn't just a historical artifact, right? This isn't just looking backwards.
Not at all. This long-term success is underpinned by consistent outperformance. The 2023 fiscal year marked the 13th consecutive year that Investor AB's TSR surpassed its benchmark, the Stockholm Stock Exchange Return Index, SIXRX.
13 years in a row beating the market. That's statistically significant.
It really is. They delivered a 26% return compared to the index's 19% in 2023. And this outperformance continued even more dramatically into 2024, with Investor delivering a 27% TSR against the SIXRX's mere 9%.
Wow, widening the gap significantly in 24.
Yeah. Over the 10 years ending in 2023, an investment in Investor AB would have generated an annual total return of 19% compared to just 11% for the broader market.
So consistent alpha generation, that ability to beat the market, is what truly sets them apart.
It seems so. And the foundation for all this shareholder return growth is the growth in the underlying value of the company's assets. Investors adjusted net asset value, or NAV.
The value of the stuff they own.
Exactly. It has shown strong and consistent growth. It exceeded SEK 800 billion for the first time in 2023, reaching SEK 818 billion, which is a 24% increase for the year.
Strong growth.
And that momentum just kept going into 2024, with the adjusted NAV growing by a further 20% to reach an impressive SEK 970 billion. These numbers aren't just figures. They're the direct result of their strategy of patient, active ownership.
What truly drives this consistent performance, though, is their disciplined approach to capital allocation. It's about balancing those shareholder returns with strategic reinvestment for future growth, all while maintaining an incredibly robust balance sheet.
Okay, tell me more about that discipline. The dividend, for example.
Right. A core strategic priority is their commitment to a steadily rising dividend. This isn't just a goal. It's a demonstrated policy. The board proposed a dividend of SEK 4.80 per share for fiscal year 2023, which was a 9% increase.
Solid increase.
And then they increased it by another 8.3% to SEK 5.20 per share for 2024. This consistent growth provides a reliable and attractive income component to their total shareholder return. Predictability is valued.
And it's not just about what they pay out, it's about how they manage the portfolio itself, right? The buying and selling.
Absolutely. They're very active in strategic investments and divestments, constantly recycling capital from mature or perhaps non-strategic assets into areas with higher perceived growth potential. It's a continuous process of optimization.
Could you give an example?
Sure. In 2023, they divested their holding in Acceleron for SEK 3.6 billion, while at the same time deploying SEK 2.2 billion to support a rights issue at their strategic healthcare holding, Sabe.
So selling one, reinvesting in another core area?
Exactly. This dynamic allocation continued into 2025, with the company increasing its stake in Ericsson while trimming its position in the bank, SEB. This clearly shows their active, hands-on approach to portfolio management, always seeking to strengthen the overall mix.
And this active management is complemented by something you mentioned earlier, financial prudence, low debt.
Yes, that's a hallmark of Investor AB's strategy, financial prudence. They consistently maintain a very low level of leverage. At the end of 2023, their leverage stood at a mere 1.7%.
Wow, very low.
And it was further reduced to an impressive 1.2% by the end of 2024. This extremely strong balance sheet provides immense financial flexibility. It acts like a fortress, right?
Yeah, how so?
It allows the company to support its portfolio companies during economic downturns and to act opportunistically on new investments without ever being financially constrained. This is a critical buffer in volatile times. They have dry powder when others might not.
Okay, let's unpack some of these incredible companies that make up the listed portfolio. These are the listed champions, and they are truly the cornerstone of Investor AB's value proposition, comprising a concentrated set of market-leading global enterprises. As of year-end 2023, this segment alone had an adjusted value of SEK 576 billion.
A huge chunk of the value.
Take Atlas Copco, for example, making up 25% of the listed portfolio. World leader in compressors, vacuum solutions, industrial tools. What's the insight here for Investor AB?
Well, the real insight into why Investor AB champions companies like Atlas Copco is its incredibly resilient service business. This isn't just about selling the equipment initially.
It's the maintenance, the spare part.
Exactly. It's about the steady, high-margin revenue from maintaining those machines over decades. That creates a cash flow bedrock for investor AB, even through economic cycles. It's very sticky revenue.
Okay. How about ABB? 20% of the listed portfolio, electrification and automation.
Right. ABB is a global powerhouse, and it is perfectly positioned to benefit from the immense capital deployment into the global energy transition, grid modernization, and industrial automation. These are critical secular trends that Investor AB actively supports through its ownership.
So it's about strategic positioning for the future, not just current earnings.
Precisely. The strategic positioning, rather than just raw revenue numbers, is why it's so important to the portfolio. Its operational EBITDA margin, a key profitability measure, shows the efficiency with which they convert revenue into core earnings. They like profitable leaders in growth areas.
And AstraZeneca, 12% of listed. Biopharma leader, what's the angle here? Defensive play?
Partly defensive, yes, but also growth. The strategic importance lies in its robust pipeline and strong commercial portfolio, especially within the high-growth field of oncology. This provides defensive qualities. Yes, healthcare spending tends to be less cyclical, but also significant growth in a non-discretionary sector. It's a powerful counterbalance to the more cyclical industrial holdings.
Got it. And finally, Epiroc, 7% of listed, spun off from Atlas Copco, you mentioned.
That's right. Spun off in 2018. It's a leader in mining and infrastructure equipment and services. But what's truly exciting here is that it's at the forefront of electrifying and automating the mining industry.
Ah, connecting to those big themes again.
Directly. This makes it a direct play on sustainability and productivity gains for its customers, perfectly aligning with Investor AB's long-term themes. They're helping mines become more efficient and greener.
And then there's the part that really gets analysts excited, Patricia Industries. The growth engine, the hidden value part. Let's dig into that.
Right. Patricia Industries represents Investor AB's commitment to actively building businesses, serving as a vital engine for both growth and diversification. This segment was valued at SEK $174 billion at the end of 2023 and has demonstrated impressive performance. Total return of 24% in 2023 and an even more robust 30% in 2024.
Strong returns. What kind of companies are in there?
The portfolio within Patricia Industries is strategically weighted towards the resilient and consistently high-growth healthcare sector.
Healthcare again. Seems like a deliberate focus.
Very deliberate. Its crown jewel is undoubtedly MölnLycke, a global leader in womb care and surgical solutions. MölnLycke alone accounts for a significant 45% of Patricia Industries' total value.
Wow, nearly half. Who else?
Other significant holdings include Labori, specializing in urology and GI diagnostics, Permobil, known for its advanced powered wheelchairs, and Sarnova, a specialty distributor of healthcare products. This focused approach provides a strong defensive characteristic to the overall Investor AB portfolio.
Okay, and this concept of hidden value within Patricia, explain that again. How does it work?
Okay. Imagine a high-performing private company like MölnLycke that isn't publicly traded. Its valuation on Investor AB's books is typically based on market estimates, using multiples from comparable public companies.
Standard practice.
Standard, yes. But it's often inherently conservative. It may not fully capture the strategic value and future growth potential of these market-leading private companies, especially if they're best in class.
So the book value might be lower than what it's really worth?
Potentially, yes. The strong organic growth and high profitability of companies like MölnLycke suggests they could command a significant premium if they were to be valued as standalone public entities, maybe through an IPO or via a strategic sale to another company.
Right.
This discrepancy between the internal carrying value and a potential market valuation represents a substantial source of hidden value for Investor AB shareholders, just waiting to be revealed or crystallized.
And strategically, building up this healthcare portfolio helps balance the industrials.
Absolutely. This deliberate buildup of a high-quality healthcare portfolio serves a crucial strategic purpose. It acts as a powerful counterbalance to the inherent cyclicality of the industrial-heavy listed company's portfolio. It significantly improves the overall quality, resilience, and growth profile of Investor AB's consolidated asset base.
Makes sense. And speaking of diversification, don't forget the investments in EQT, Pillar 3.
Crucial piece. This pillar, as we mentioned earlier, is absolutely vital. It provides diversified exposure to the global private equity landscape, managed by a world-class organization, contributing both significant returns and consistent cash flow as the underlying EQT funds mature and return capital.
So when you look at the total portfolio asset allocation as of year-end 2023, just remind us of the split again.
Sure. You had roughly 69% of listed companies, 21% of Patricia Industries, and 10% in investments in EQT. It's a very deliberate and diversified mix, designed for long-term value creation.
Okay. Now, thinking about growth trajectory, macro challenges, their ability to adapt and foresee future trends seems critical to their enduring success. How has the portfolio evolved?
Well, a pivotal moment we should highlight again was the formal establishment of Patricia Industries in 2015. This wasn't just a reorganization. It signaled a profound strategic shift towards a more proactive buy-to-build approach.
Huh.
This was immediately evidenced by the acquisition of U.S.-based Braunability in the same year.
Braunability?
Yeah.
Mobility solutions?
Yes. This transformed Investor AB from being primarily a long-term holder of public stocks into a much more dynamic entity that actively creates and develops new platforms for value creation. It fundamentally enhanced the quality and growth trajectory of the portfolio.
And this isn't just arbitrary growth. It's all driven by those core investment themes you mentioned.
Absolutely. Investor AB's management has very clearly articulated its focus on investing in and behind powerful long-term secular growth trends. Their entire portfolio is strategically aligned to benefit from four key themes: digitalization, automation, electrification, and sustainability.
And you can see this across the pillars.
Everywhere. In the listed portfolio, ABB is a direct play on electrification and automation. Epiroc is leading the charge in electrifying and automating mining. And in the unlisted Patricia Industries portfolio, the focus on advanced medical tech directly taps into the secular trends of an aging global population and the increasing use of technology to improve healthcare outcomes. It's all incredibly well integrated.
Okay, looking ahead, what drives future growth?
It's expected to be propelled by a multifaceted strategy. Organic growth remains the primary driver, just making the companies they own better and bigger through innovation, operational excellence, market share gains.
Just the core business getting stronger.
Exactly. Alongside this, Patricia Industries has a well-established strategy of pursuing value-accretive bolt-on acquisitions for its subsidiary companies. Little tuck-ins to strengthen them.
Like adding pieces to the existing puzzle.
Precisely. For instance, in 2023 alone, its subsidiaries completed 10 such acquisitions for a total of SEK $4.2 billion, accelerating growth and expanding market reach.
And what about bigger deals? Can they still do those?
Definitely. With its exceptionally strong balance sheet and that low leverage we discussed, Investor AB has significant dry powder cash reserves ready for investment to execute new, large-scale platform acquisitions within Patricia Industries' target sectors.
Any recent examples?
Yes. The financing of the quite large $2.2 billion acquisition of Nova Biomedical by its subsidiary Advanced Instruments in mid-2025 is a clear demonstration of this capacity and strategic intent.
So they have the firepower for major moves. And continuity seems important, too. Leadership changes.
Very important. The leadership transition from CEO Johan Forsell to Christian Cederholm in 2024 signals strategic continuity. The new leadership reaffirmed the focus on profitable growth and future-proofing the portfolio companies.
And the family involvement.
That reinforces it, too. The election of Fred Wallenberg, a member of the sixth generation of the family, to the board of directors in 2025, truly underscores the unwavering long-term commitment of its principal owner and ensures that this multi-generational perspective remains at the core of its strategy.
But it hasn't always been smooth sailing, right? The period from 2022 to 2024 was characterized by really significant macroeconomic and geopolitical volatility. This gives us valuable insight into the resilience of Investor AB's business model and the quality of its management. How did they handle that recent turbulence?
That's a critical question and a good test case. The global economy faced a rapid and aggressive cycle of monetary tightening during this period, central banks raising interest rates to combat inflation.
Which creates problems for investors.
Multiple challenges. Higher interest rates increased the discount rate used in valuation models, putting downward pressure on asset prices, particularly for growth-oriented companies. And for Investor AB's industrial holdings, high inflation can compress margins through higher input costs.
So how did Investor defend against that?
Well, Investor AB's disciplined financial management, particularly its consistently low leverage, provided a critical defense. It significantly mitigated the impact of higher borrowing costs and preserved financial flexibility to act. They weren't caught with too much expensive debt, allowing them to weather the storm and even pursue opportunities.
That low leverage paid off. What about supply chains and geopolitics? That was messy, too.
Very messy. The 2023 annual report explicitly identified the difficult geopolitical situation as a key source of uncertainty that could cause renewed disturbances in global supply chains. This is a material risk for Investor AB's portfolio, dominated by global industrial companies. Many experienced significant disruptions, price increases, delivery delays.
So how did their active ownership help there?
This is where that active ownership model really showed its value. Experienced teams at Investor work directly with portfolio company boards and management to proactively navigate these complex logistical and geopolitical challenges, often by adopting more resilient just-in-case inventory strategies, diversifying supplier bases.
Getting hands-on to solve real-world problems.
Exactly. It was a clear demonstration of how hands-on guidance paid off.
And despite these significant headwinds, the performance held up.
Remarkably well. Investor AB's portfolio demonstrated resilience and continued its long-term trend of outperformance. In the challenging market of 2023, the company's total shareholder return was 26%, comfortably ahead of the 19% return of the SIXRX index.
And even better in 2024.
Even more pronounced in 2024, with a TSR of 27% versus the index's mere 9%. This strong relative performance during a period of market stress powerfully underscores the quality of the underlying assets and the effectiveness of management's active long-term approach.
It's also worth noting the strategic and management changes during this period. The seamless CEO succession in 2024, with Christian Cederholm taking over from Johan Forssell, that signals continuity.
Absolutely. A continuation of the company's proven strategy. And the board's evolution, with the election of Fred Wallenberg from the sixth generation of the founding family in 2025, further reinforces that long-term culture and vision for future generations. It's a clear message about continuity and generational commitment.
Right. One other factor in volatile times, currency. How does that play in?
Good point. As a company with global assets and revenues denominated in various currencies, Investor AB is inherently exposed to foreign exchange fluctuations.
Yeah.
This was evident in the reported performance of Patricia Industries, for instance. A negative currency impact acted as a headwind to valuation in Q4 2023.
Okay.
But a positive currency impact was a contributing driver to returns in Q4 2024. This highlights currency as a persistent, albeit sometimes unpredictable, source of volatility in the company's quarterly results. Something to be aware of.
Okay. Now let's circle back to something we touched on earlier, which seems central to valuing holding companies like this, the NAV discount. You said it's where investors get excited or hesitant?
Exactly. It's a critical concept. As we discussed, Investor AB's shares typically trade at a discount to its per-share net asset value, and this is a persistent feature.
And this discount has actually seen some notable fluctuations recently. You mentioned it widened, then narrowed again.
That's right. It widened to 12.9% at the end of 2023 before narrowing significantly to a low of just 2.9% in the third quarter of 2024, and then settling back at 7.6% at the end of 2024. This volatility in the discount is a key component of the stock's total return. It can either amplify or dampen the performance of the underlying NAV.
So it's a real double-edged sword for investors.
Indeed. The persistent discount to NAV presents both an opportunity and a risk. On one hand, it offers a potential margin of safety. You're effectively purchasing that portfolio of high-quality assets for less than their reported value.
The bargain aspect.
Right. On the other hand, the factors driving this discount can be structural and long-lasting. Academic studies and market analysis suggest that a higher proportion of unlisted holdings, like those in Patricia Industries, which are inherently more difficult to value and less liquid, can contribute to a wider and more persistent discount.
Ah, so as Patricia grows, that could actually reinforce the discount.
It's a potential dynamic, yes. As Investor AB successfully grows its Patricia Industries segment, it simultaneously increases its exposure to these very factors. This suggests that the investment case should primarily be based on the fundamental growth of the NAV itself. The potential for the discount to narrow should be viewed as an additional but not guaranteed source of return. Don't bank just on the discount closing.
So what's the real prize here, and how does one actually benefit? Where is that potential value unlock? You mentioned the hidden value in Patricia Industries.
That's right. The most significant source of potential value not fully captured in the current stock price likely resides within the Patricia Industries portfolio. As we discussed, the carrying values of these unlisted companies are often conservative estimates.
Okay, so how does that hidden value get, well, unhidden? What's the catalyst?
A major catalyst for narrowing the NAV discount would be what we call a value crystallizing event.
Meaning?
Meaning something that makes the market clearly see the true value. This could be a successful initial public offering, an IPO, or a strategic sale of a major Patricia Industries holding, such as MoMLike.
Taking it public or selling it.
Exactly. If such a transaction were to occur at a valuation significantly higher than its current carrying value in Investor AB's books, it would provide undeniable public validation of that hidden value within the private portfolio. This could then trigger a positive re-rating of Investor AB's shares, causing that discount to narrow significantly.
Okay, so that's the big potential catalyst. Ultimately, then, the prospective total return for an investor in Investor AB is a composite of three distinct elements.
That's a good way to put it. Three elements. First, you have the fundamental long-term appreciation in the value of the underlying portfolio, that NAV growth we talked about. That's the core engine.
Element one, NAV growth.
Second, there's the dividend yield, that recurring income stream from the company's commitment to a steadily rising dividend. Based on the proposed dividend of SEK 5-point DOWI for 2024 and a recent share price, the forward yield is approximately 1.75%. Not huge, but reliable and growing.
Element two, dividend yield.
And third, there's the change in the NAV discount, that potential for capital appreciation if the discount narrows, or conversely, depreciation if it widens. For example, at year-end 2024, the adjusted NAV was SEK 969.8 billion, implying that 7.6% discount. Each of these elements contributes to the overall return profile, and a VABI investor considers all three.
Got it. NAV growth, dividend, and the discount change. Of course, no investment is without its considerations. This raises an important question. What are the risks here that investors should be aware of? Let's break those down.
Absolutely critical. We can categorize these into portfolio-specific, macro-level, and governance-related factors.
Okay, start with portfolio-specific risks.
Right. First, there's definitely concentration risk. Investor AB's portfolio, particularly the listed segment, is quite concentrated. As of year-end 2023, the top four holdings, Atlas Copco, ABB, AstraZeneca, Suffolk, accounted for approximately 68% of the total value of that listed portfolio.
So if one of those big four stumbles,
any adverse company-specific event or prolonged underperformance in one of these key holdings would have a material negative impact on the company's overall NAV. That's clear.
Okay. What else portfolio-wise?
There's also cyclicality risk. A significant portion of the portfolio's value is tied to industrial companies whose performance is closely linked to global economic and manufacturing cycles. A global recession or a slowdown in industrial capital expenditure would likely lead to lower earnings for these companies and a corresponding decline in Investor AB's NAV.
The industrial exposure again.
Yes. And finally, the unlisted asset risk from Patricia Industries is noteworthy. Their valuations are internal estimates, subjective, and these assets are illiquid. They can't be sold quickly to raise capital without potentially accepting a substantial discount. We covered this, but it's a key risk.
Right. Valuation and liquidity risk there.
Yeah.
Okay, what about macro-level risks, things outside their direct control?
Well, as a global investment company with holdings operating and generating revenue in numerous currencies, Investor AB is exposed to currency risk. Fluctuations in the Swedish krona against major currencies like the U.S. dollar and the euro can significantly impact the reported value of its international assets and the earnings translated back to SEK.
FX swings matter.
They do. There's also geographic risk. The portfolio companies have extensive operations across Europe, North America, and Asia. This exposes Investor AB to regional economic downturns, regulatory changes, political instability in key markets.
And the big one lately, geopolitical risk.
Yes, which management has explicitly identified as a significant uncertainty factor. Escalating trade tensions, military conflicts, other geopolitical events. They could disrupt global supply chains, increase operating costs for its industrial companies, and negatively impact global market sentiment. All of that would be detrimental to Investor AB's performance.
Okay, and the last category, governments and key person risk.
Right. The concentrated voting power of the Wallenberg Foundations, while a source of long-term stability and aligned interests, means that minority shareholders have limited ability to influence major strategic decisions.
So you're trusting the foundation's judgment?
Essentially, yes. The investment thesis is heavily reliant on the continued prudent and value-oriented stewardship of the Wallenberg family and the boards they influence. Furthermore, there's succession risk.
Passing the baton.
Exactly. The long-term success of the Wallenberg model has been dependent on smooth and effective leadership transitions across generations. The continued ability to identify and empower capable leaders, both within the family and at the executive level of Investor AB and its portfolio companies, is critical. The recent well-managed CEO transition and the introduction of the next generation to the board are positive indicators, but this remains a key long-term factor to monitor.
Given these risks, how can we trust the stewardship of this capital? The quality of management and the robustness of the corporate governance framework seem absolutely paramount for a long-term holding company like Investor AB.
They are paramount. And here, Investor AB scores highly. Their leadership, both at the executive level and on the board of directors, has an extensive and demonstrable track record of superior value creation.
The performance speaks for itself.
To a large extent, yes. The company's ability to consistently outperform its benchmark index for over a decade is direct evidence of management's skill in portfolio construction, capital allocation, and active ownership. The leadership team, including current CEO Christian Cederholm and his predecessor Johan Forssell, as well as board leaders Jacob and Marcus Wallenberg, are deeply experienced and respected figures within the Nordic and global industrial and financial communities.
And the formal governance structure, how does that look?
It's rigorous. Investor AB operates as a Swedish public stock corporation and adheres to the Swedish Code of Corporate Governance, based on the comply or explain principle. This structure establishes clear roles among shareholders, the board, and the CEO. The board has specialized committees, audit and risk, remuneration to ensure expert oversight.
Standard good practice.
Yes. What's more, their commitment to ethical conduct is codified in their sustainability guidelines, mandating compliance with national laws, adherence to the UN Global Compact, and robust anti-corruption policies across all portfolio companies. This is a comprehensive and transparent approach to governance, providing a strong ethical backbone.
And a key strength you mentioned is the alignment of interests between the Wallenberg Foundations and other shareholders.
Yes, this is a crucial point. The Wallenberg Foundations, as the largest shareholder, have a truly perpetual investment horizon. Their primary objective is the long-term sustainable growth of the company's value to generate a reliable and increasing stream of dividends to fund their philanthropic activities.
So their goals match a long-term investor's goals.
Perfectly aligned. This unwavering long-term focus on sustainable value creation effectively mitigates the short-term pressures that can often lead to suboptimal capital allocation decisions in other public companies. They can afford to be patient.
And for a complex holding company like this, transparency must be key for investors to understand what's going on.
Absolutely crucial for maintaining investor confidence. Investor AB upholds a very high standard of communication and disclosure. They provide detailed quarterly and annual reports that include a clear breakdown of their portfolio, specific performance metrics for each of their three business areas, and a transparent calculation of their adjusted net asset value.
So investors aren't flying blind.
Not at all. This regular and detailed reporting allows investors to accurately track the performance of the underlying assets and assess the company's valuation relative to its intrinsic worth, minimizing information asymmetry.
Okay. Let's try to bring this all together by directly addressing some common investor questions that might arise from everything we've discussed.
Good idea. Let's tackle some key points head on.
First, how has Investor AB's approach evolved and what really drives its sustained outperformance? We've touched on this, but let's summarize.
Okay. Investor AB's approach has evolved significantly, transforming from a relatively passive holder of legacy industrial stakes into a dynamic three-pillar investment company. The creation of Patricia Industries in 2015 was pivotal, shifting them towards being an active builder of wholly owned businesses. Yeah. Sustained outperformance. It's driven by a powerful combination, that stable, long-term perspective from the Wallenberg ecosystem, allowing multi-generational planning,
right,
a disciplined, value-focused capital allocation process, an active ownership model driving tangible operational improvements, and strategic exposure to durable secular growth trends like electrification, automation, and healthcare innovation. It's a mix of all those things.
Okay. What about the sustainability of returns given current market conditions? Things still feel uncertain out there.
True. While near-term returns will inevitably be subject to the volatility of current macroeconomic environment, interest rates, inflation, geopolitics, the long-term sustainability of attractive returns remains remarkably high.
Why so confident?
It's rooted in the defensive qualities of the portfolio that significant healthcare exposure through Patricia Industries helps. Furthermore, the entire portfolio is heavily aligned with those powerful long-term, non-cyclical growth trends. And crucially, the company's exceptionally strong and liquid balance sheet provides that buffer against downturns and the capacity to act opportunistically.
How effectively does management navigate cycles and market volatility? We saw they did well recently, but what's the mechanism?
Management has demonstrated a highly effective capability here. The consistent outperformance during the turbulent 2022-2024 period is direct evidence. The key tools: that consistently low leverage policy, preserving financial flexibility; the stable and substantial dividend stream from a listed portfolio, ensuring reliable cash flow; and the hands-on ownership model, allowing close collaboration with portfolio companies to manage costs and adapt strategies.
And what catalysts could potentially narrow that persistent discount to NAV? We talked about the big one, Patricia Industries.
Right. The primary and most powerful catalyst for a structural narrowing of the NAV discount would be a significant value realization event within Patricia Industries. A successful IPO or strategic sale of a major asset like MoonLake at a premium to carrying value would provide that public market validation of the hidden value, likely leading to a re-rating.
Are there any other potential catalysts?
Other possibilities include a sustained period of strong outperformance by the listed portfolio, maybe the initiation of a more aggressive share buyback program, or just a broad risk-on shift in market sentiment that reduces the market's general aversion to complex holding company structures.
Yeah.
But the Patricia value unlock is probably the most direct.
Okay, final question. How does the risk-reward profile compare to just directly investing in its underlying holdings? Why buy Investor AB instead of just buying Atlas Copco, ABB, AstraZeneca shares yourself?
Good question. Investing in Investor AB offers a distinct risk-reward profile. The potential reward is enhanced by three unique sources of alpha potential outperformance unavailable through direct investment.
Okay, what are they?
First, access to the value creation and growth within the private Patricia Industries portfolio. You can't buy that directly. Second, diversified exposure to the global private equity market through the investments in EQT segment. Again, hard for individuals to access directly. And third, that potential for capital appreciation from a narrowing of the persistent discount to NAV.
So, three potential extra return drivers. What's the risk side of that equation?
The primary risk is the introduction of an additional layer of management and complexity, and the fact that the NAV discount can widen due to market sentiment, causing the stock to underperform the value of its underlying assets, even if those assets perform well.
So you could have the underlying companies doing fine, but the Investor AB stock lags because the discount widens.
That's the risk. So an investment in Investor AB is therefore a compelling proposition for those who believe in the superior value creation capabilities of the management team and the long-term strategic vision of the Wallenberg ownership model. It's a bet on their active management adding value beyond just owning the parts.
So what does this all mean? Investor AB stands out as a truly unique investment vehicle, doesn't it? A remarkable blend of tradition, deeply ingrained long-term perspective, and forward-thinking dynamic strategy. It offers you exposure to global leaders, private market growth, and an almost unparalleled multi-generational investment philosophy all wrapped into one.
I think that captures it well. The investment case for Investor AB is anchored in powerful strengths. A world-class portfolio of market-leading companies exposed to long-term secular growth trends, operating within that unique Wallenberg ecosystem, providing stability and network advantages, backed by a multi-decade track record of outperforming the market, driven by disciplined capital allocation and active ownership. And yes, the persistent discount to NAV also offers a structural margin of safety.
But we have to remember the weaknesses too.
Absolutely. We can't ignore the weaknesses, the portfolio concentration, its exposure to cyclical industrial sectors, the valuation opacity and illiquidity risk of its unlisted assets, and the persistent risk that the discount to NAV remains a permanent feature or even widens.
So positioning it. In today's uncertain world, its conservative balance sheet and high-quality portfolio of resilient businesses make it a defensive yet growth-oriented choice. Highly suitable for a long-term patient investor seeking both steady capital appreciation and a reliable growing income stream.
Exactly. It's an ideal cornerstone holding for a diversified global equity portfolio, offering professionally managed, value-oriented exposure to both public and private markets. But as we said, it's explicitly less suitable for investors with a short time horizon or those seeking high-risk, speculative returns.
Right. Patience is the key word here.
It really is. Which leads to a final thought. Ultimately, Investor AB asks you to consider, in an age of instant gratification and short-term market noise, what truly defines multi-generational wealth creation and how much value can be unlocked when capital has the luxury of infinite patience.